Hey, this is Christian Horn from Part-Time Fanboy. I'm just back from WonderCon, and I'm happy to report that I finally got to interview somebody from Valiant Comics. Anybody who listens to the podcast knows that I love what Valiant is doing, and I've been wanting to interview somebody from Valiant for years. So at this year's WonderCon, I finally got the chance to speak to Emily Hecht, the sales and social media manager for Valiant Comics. Valiant this year was being hosted at the Collector's Paradise booth, and Emily was nice enough to take time to step away from the booth and their comic book sales to chat with me for about 20 minutes to a half an hour. It was a really nice chat. We got to talk about the history of the company, what the company is currently doing, and where the company might be going in the future. So feel free to sit back and listen to my interview with Emily Hecht, who also happens to be one of the nicer people I've ever met. I'd like to thank Greg Katzman at Valiant Comics for setting up the interview. So without any further ado, here is my first of what is hopefully many interviews with people from Valiant Comics, and I hope you enjoy the listen. As always, thank you for listening to Part-Time Fanboy, and it was great to meet so many fantastic people at WonderCon. WonderCon is a really great convention, and if you've never been, you should really go. It's a terrific time. All right, on to the interview.
Part-Time Fanboy.
Part-Time Fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
Fanboy.com.
Let's start the interview, shall
Let's
we?
Let's do it.
Because I know you're busy and you need to get back to your booth.
But... Oh, no, this is so quiet. Let's just stay here for a while.
I know, we could just meditate and come
so
down.
So nice.
Come down. Well, why don't you tell me your name first and how you're connected to Valiant?
My name is Emily Hecht. I'm Valiant's sales and social media manager. That means that I work with a lot of retailers, local comic book stores to help them sell Valiant, but I also run all of our Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's great. Well, thank you for taking the time to join me, you know, out on the floor, because I know everyone is like running around and, you know, everyone's doing their thing here. So I appreciate you taking a little bit of time off away from the booth, you know, to talk to me.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're really big fans of Valiant, and I've been going back and forth on Twitter, like trying to get an interview, and you guys are super busy, and, you know, this was a time to actually corner somebody and, you know, chat with them.
Absolutely. So. It's so much nicer to do it in person.
Yeah. Well, it was tough for me because I do read a lot of the books and stuff, and, you know, I'm not always, like, caught up with everything. Like a lot of fans, it is called Part-Time Fanboy. For me, it was just trying to get in touch mostly with somebody who would have knowledge of like the company and the history of the company and what the company's like sort of like goals were, because as much as I would love to talk to all the writers and talent and stuff like that, it's a great idea to sort of like just get like what your company's about. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I've been at Valiant for a little under a year, full time now.
Yeah.
So I would like to say that I'm a pretty good representative of what's going on right at the moment.
That's great.
I've pretty much only been here for that.
Yeah. But I mean, signing up like with the social media and being in charge of all that and like working with all the, what do you find sort of has, because there's been a lot of like changes for Valiant, like with the past several years. And like one of the biggest changes was sort of like when it got bought by another company, which I don't know the name off like the top of my head, but it's
our parent company is called DMG.
DMG. Mm-hmm. And it's based in Beijing, correct?
Yeah. Well, their entertainment arm is based in LA, and that's who we mostly work with.
Gotcha. Our director
of marketing is based out of their offices in LA.
Okay.
I was there once. They're all really wonderful and welcoming.
Yeah.
The thing I will say about them as a company is that they really understand that we're the ones who know how to make comics, and they really just let us do that, which is wonderful. They're very, very respectful of our expertise and our time, and I found them really wonderful to work with.
That's great. I mean, and is the comics division sort of, is it separate from like the entertainment division? Is Valiant sort of becoming what you would, one would maybe see like DC and Marvel as, like where you've got like sort of like a movie division, and then you've got like the publishing division and that sort of thing?
Well, you know, I think it's a little early to sort of figure out how that's all going to end up in, you know, 5, 10, 20 years.
Sure.
I would say that for now, what's happening with the Bloodshot movie is that we have a wonderful, wonderful partner in Sony.
Okay.
And they're in charge of the movie, and they know what they're doing.
Gotcha.
You know, so it's more that Sony is making the Bloodshot movie with the support and, characters, et cetera, of Valiant, rather than Valiant trying to make a movie out of our New York office.
Sure. And you have a New York office as well? Is that where the comics are published?
Valiant's publishing office is in New York. Valiant is still, we're our own being, you know, we're really allowed to just do what we need to do and make comics.
Gotcha.
I do not feel at all like we're hampered by having a parent company in LA.
Yeah.
They're actually just really wonderful. Yeah. Every so often they'll come by and visit like one or two people, and they're always just really pleasant and lovely and love to hear and learn about comics.
Yeah.
And, you know, people who've spent their whole lives in, you know, film and television are like, oh, so how does this part of the process work? And they're really open to learning about it. They're great.
Sure. Yeah. And so, I mean, that's sort of the division that my mind is sort of like trying to figure out now, because you're talking about like publishing comics,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like a lot of companies are coming into comics to, you know, develop IP for like larger things. And one of the things that's impressed me about Valiant, you know, and that I've loved, you know, sort of from the beginning, even before the acquisition or purchase or whatever you want to mm-hmm. call it, is how sort of tight everything was, and it seemed like not beholden to sort of a larger entity. Like they were telling stories just to tell stories.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's still very true. I think, you know, it's comics is a crazy industry. Entertainment in general is a crazy industry. So things change all the time.
Sure.
But the one thing that is such a constant at Valiant is the characters themselves,
uh-huh.
and a genuine, true loyalty and love for the characters.
Yeah.
From everyone who's working on the books.
Yeah.
That's really what it's about for us.
Yeah.
So I think that the reason why there is some interest in these IPs on other properties is that they're just really freaking good IPs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, are we aware that there's a possibility that something might happen with certain properties or things in development? You've seen the headlines. Yeah.
Sure.
But the point is always to make good comics.
Yeah.
If we were just an IP factory, we'd be churning out 20,000 books a month so we could get as many IPs as possible.
Yeah.
And we're not doing that. It's quality over quantity always.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing is, I mean, originally Valiant started like what, in the 90s, and it was mm-hmm. like Jim Shooter's company,
yeah.
and then they kind of went out of business, and it went to like a video game. So there were like all these.
There was
like
a different company owned it, yeah, and
yeah.
then it kind of went away for a little bit,
yeah.
and then it was purchased by some true, loyal, wonderful fans,
yeah.
who brought it out of retirement again, rebooted it in 2012.
Yeah, it was Dinesh. I don't remember the last name, right?
Shyamdasani.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you for pronouncing that for me. I would have screwed it up. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes, and I believe there were a couple other people involved as well. They rebooted the company, made this incredible sort of, took these characters who were, you know, very, very 90s, for
sure.
good and for bad, you know,
yeah.
and made them really modern and real and meaningful.
Yeah.
And I think what's always going to be the focus of the company and what is always the point of the company is the characters.
Sure.
Always.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
That's why we have a universe that doesn't reboot, you know, that where dead means dead. It's that these are real people.
Yeah.
And we want to make them feel that way.
And is that sort of what do you call that? Jerry Maguire. Mission statement. Jerry Maguire was the first thing that popped into my head. Like, mission statement
mm-hmm.
of sort of the company. Are people, like, very, as far as the comics goes, like, I guess for lack of a better term, trying to, like, keep it real and not doing... Because I noticed Valiant, you don't reboot, like, the characters, but series do get rebooted. You
yeah.
know what I mean? And so there's a part of me that's wondering, what is the justification sort of behind that? Is it just that people buy new number ones, or is it...
There's a couple different ways to look at it, I'd say. Again, I'm not with editorial.
Sure, no,
sort of some of the deeper philosophies behind certain things I can't really
yeah.
speak to. But what I can definitely say is that, sometimes it's less about like, oh, we want to boost sales, and more like, let's reintroduce this character to a new audience.
Sure.
You know, this is a good place for you to start.
Okay.
That's a big part of
that
it for
sense.
Some of it. And also, The other thing is, as like I was saying before, you know, it's very quality over quantity for us.
Yeah.
So we can't have all of our characters there at all times.
Sure.
Because we couldn't make good comics that way.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes certain people, you know, maybe a big event happens for the character, or maybe the writer is off to do something else. You know, like Christos Gage left to do television, which is super awesome. Matt Kent's working on a lot of creator own stuff right now.
Yeah.
So instead of just like hurrying to the next thing, we give it a little time. We let the character rest. Mm. We figure out the right way to bring them back and the right team and really give it its due.
Yeah.
So it becomes a little more episodic with characters.
Sure.
Yeah, are there certain characters where I'd love there to be a 100-issue run? Sure,
yeah.
And maybe that'll, for something that'll happen, but I think it's more important for us to make sure that each story we're telling is really, really strong on its own merits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, in a way, for me, that, and it's sort of the way that indie comics have, like, developed. I mean, something like, I remember Hellboy would be, like, miniseries, and then a new miniseries, and a new miniseries, and it's a way to start fresh, but you guys also sort of are able to maintain a great continuity.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's some characters that are... Ooh!
Somebody's playing music.
There's... I don't know if...
Maybe we should pause. Yeah. You should pause. Great.
Testing.
Yeah, we're still good.
We had to escape the saxophones.
Yes, saxophone music started, and so we went outside. But part of like what intrigues me about Valiant is also the sort of... like universe that you're creating, because you never sort of get to a point where it seems like too expansive. And when you do like but when you start up a new series, or I tend to read the trades, and whenever I pick up a trade or I read like say something that isn't necessarily connected to another trade or storyline that I've been reading, I found it amazing how you guys are able to like cue me in like as a reader and like keep things like fresh and interesting and sort of new, but educate me on like what has happened before without having like a title page. Can you speak to like that philosophy? I mean, I know you're not in editing or anything like that.
Yeah, but you know, so I'm actually myself a pretty recent Valiant convert.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm a late in life nerd in general.
Okay.
I only started reading comics about 6 or 7 years ago.
Sure.
And just completely fell way, way too deep, way too fast.
Yeah.
And I was introduced to Valiant maybe 2 years ago.
Okay.
So I started very, very quickly, and I read a lot of different things in slightly random order at times, you know, what I was able to find.
And how did that play for you as somebody who was like a late nerd? Because I'm a full-on nerd since like I was a teenager. Like a kid, not even a teenager.
Yeah, totally.
So.
Well, the thing that I think that Valiant, from my perspective as a reader, does really well is understands that we all get some of the basic ideas of what superheroes are.
Sure.
You know? So we're able to shorthand a few of those things that can be shorthanded, you know, about what it means to have superpowers or you know, what it means to be part of a team or have that context for a superhero story, and then really just dig into the meat of what the ramifications are and the depth behind it.
Yeah.
So every so often there'd be something in a Valiant book where I'd be like, I'm not sure I have read the thing that came before this, but I kind of get where it's coming from.
Yeah.
So I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, like we all understand sort of the basic ideas of what superheroes are.
Sure.
So once you kind of move...
culture has changed so much.
Yeah. But once you move past, like, you understand what a superhero is, you can really dig deep. And I feel like that's kind of what we're focusing on is we're taking the time to explain things that are new and interesting and different.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of getting you past the first round.
Sure, sure.
Though we definitely have our origin stories, you know? Like Bloodshot, Quanman, Woody, Harbinger, Rye... Najak, God, there's so many. They all have like a good origin story volume, and that's what I always love to show people too is, oh, did you read Valiant in the 90s? Or, oh, have you never read Valiant before? Here's this one $10 volume that'll get you started.
Yeah.
But the internet, honestly, the internet makes things so easy.
Yeah.
When I started reading comics, I was reading Journey into Mystery by Karen Gillan.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And because I just love Loki from the movies.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Like every other person my age. And I had no idea what was going on, so I just read a Wikipedia page.
Uh-huh.
And then I was good to go.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, I was like, okay, what happened right before this? Why is he a kid? Why is there a bird?
Yeah.
And then I just went and read the Wikipedia page for 5 minutes, and then I was able to really just sink into the story.
Yeah.
Because it works on its own once you have, like, a little bit of context. So
sure.
There's been a couple times when I was reading a newer Valiant thing where I was a little... I didn't have the context yet because I hadn't read back far enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, you know, I just did a quick Wikipedia page. Our fan wiki's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, that's... Yeah, I mean, it is such a different world because I know that... I've shown people like maybe like, you know, the 80s comics or something like that growing up, and you would hand it to somebody and they'd be like, what the hell is going on?
And you'd have to sit with them for an hour.
Yeah, and particularly like if it's an X-Men book, you know.
Oh, no.
But you were saying like, I mean, back in the day.
Do you have
know?
5 days for me to explain
yeah,
this
exactly.
to you? I have charts.
Here's Jean Grey. Like we have, this is a whole day. We're going to get yes. to it. We're going to get through it together.
Here's the binder.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, like with your, the thing is like, what's interesting to me, and I'm not trying to like diminish Valiant or anything like that, but it's how stable the sort of origins of the characters are, and how they sort of maintain their stability. But you guys do make changes,
mm-hmm.
like with all the Geomancer stuff, and like people die, and it's like
dead
really
is
interesting.
Dead.
Yeah, yeah, but
yeah. Well, I think what we can say about the origin stories, and we've gotten to work with so many incredible creators. You know, and especially people who really just took a character and ran with it. Like Joshua Dysart's here at this convention with us, and he's launching Life and Death of Toyo Harada,
yes.
which is his 6-part miniseries.
It's
kind of the
yeah.
culmination of his years and years of work on this. You know, you give them that strong foundation and give them a reality of character,
yeah.
and then you can kind of go where you want because the status quo isn't a situation. It's
yeah.
not a... You know, it's not a team up that's always the same team up. The status
sure.
quo is just who these people are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can really change where they are in their lives or who they're allied with. But the real basis is, again, it's that character. It's that core of who that person is.
Sure.
So you can really put them through the ringer.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
And we definitely do that with
yeah.
recently, especially with Toyo and with Livewire. We've put them through some really, really rough stuff.
Yeah.
But they're able to come out on the other side and be interesting and viable characters because they have this basis
sure,
of
sure.
being real people.
Sure. As far as like the Toyo thing, Harada book, I have an important question to ask. Is it Harbinger or Harbinger?
Harbinger.
Harbinger. Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. See, I had to ask a dumb question. Because we're always like, is it? Which one is
it? If you've watched sure. Battlestar, if you watch Battlestar Galactica,
yeah.
there's a part where the lady, I don't remember what she's called, but the lady in the goo,
okay.
she says, Kara Thrace, you are the harbinger of
okay.
something.
So it's
Harbinger. So it's the same pronunciation
Great.
As that.
So, I mean, and going off like sort of on a tangent about that, what fascinates me is, and we talked about it on our last podcast, because Toyo Harada was one of the books that we talked about,
mm-hmm.
Not our last podcast, but our last Valiant podcast, is how well that world has sort of like developed a future and grown into something and still feels real. And like the reason that I compare it to say the X-Men, like Harbinger, when I first read the first trade, I was like, eh, this is kind of like X-Men. I mean, but it's developed into something that, and quite honestly, I feel like as a teenager and growing up, I was like, this is kind of what I wanted the X-Men to grow into. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you speak to that a little bit or?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I don't think you can discount for a second just the sheer genius of Joshua Dysart.
Sure.
He is an unbelievable
yeah.
talent, and
yeah.
his brain goes places with these characters that I would never think to go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's I think. He's done the character itself a lot of favors by keeping the team small.
Sure.
By keeping the focus small.
Sure.
Big consequences, small moments.
Yeah.
You know.
Uh-huh.
And he really took his time, like in Harbinger, in Renegade, in Imperium,
yeah. uh-huh.
to introduce all of these wacky, insane characters, like really one by one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just make sure it's like, there are rules that govern this character.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like the world building's really clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it all makes sense. It all has justification for it. Like
sure.
this is why LV-99 is here. This is why Angela is here.
Yeah.
The Angela vessel, excuse
yeah.
me. I don't know where Angela is. Poor Angela. I think about her a lot. I'm like, where are you? This is why Gravedog is here. And he really gave each of those characters their weight.
Sure.
And didn't try to, you know, launch a huge, huge team.
Mm-hmm.
without giving each person their due.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, I won't lie, it helps keeping the team small because people die all the frickin' time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a real weight to like what's going on.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you a couple of other short questions because I know you got to get back to your booth. So, and I've taken up a lot of your time.
Oh,
so
this has been great.
I totally apologize if you're like,
don't
I got to go.
Don't you
back.
Dare. I'm having a great time.
Great.
The weather is beautiful.
Is beautiful.
I'm watching nerds run around in costumes.
Nice
it's the best.
It is a nice day. So the one question that that I, and the mystery for me has always been, because you're at the Collector's Paradise booth, like here, mm-hmm. but I don't go to as many comic shops as I used to, because I'm a dad and, you know, schedules and work and stuff like that.
You got stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. We got stuff. But when I do go, I don't see a lot of like Valiant sections, you know, and it always bugs me because you've got like Image and you've got Dark Horse and you've got other companies, but I'm like looking at stuff like, I'm looking at Valiant and I'm like, what is going on? Because like, I honestly feel like you guys are talent in need of like wider recognition in a way, even though you guys have done so well and you guys have a great fan base and you tell great stories, which I love. Mm-hmm. But can you speak to that sort of like comic shop presence that I don't necessarily see a lot?
Absolutely. So first things first, after we're off this podcast, I'm going to ask you what your local shop is, because we're going to send them a bunch of free stuff. The thing about Valiant is we know that sometimes, I like to call it like the activation energy of uh-huh. getting to Valiant. It's one yeah. of those things where once you pick up a Valiant book, you're going to see why it's so wonderful.
Sure.
But sometimes when someone's coming to a comic shop and they only recognize a few characters' names, or sure. they, you know, aren't looking to buy a single issue or whatever it is, there's just this sort of activation energy to get them to take the one extra step of picking yeah. up a book they haven't heard of before.
Yeah.
Obviously, the movie's going to help a lot with that, yeah. Which I'm really, really excited about. I've heard nothing but good things from people who've yeah. seen parts of it or have been on the set.
Sure.
So obviously the movie's going to help with a lot of that recognition of getting that initial energy into yeah. someone's brain to be like, oh, let's try this out. But one thing that we do actually is that we have a really, really strong and dedicated sales department.
Yeah.
Of which I am part of.
Sure.
In my other non-Twitter capacity.
Sure.
Which means that we're calling comic book stores every day, every week.
Yeah.
Making sure that they know what we have coming up, making sure that they have posters and swag to give out.
Yeah.
And making sure that they know that we're behind them when they're trying to make that extra sale, because they know, we know when someone picks up a Valiant let me try that one more time. My yeah. Lord.
No.
We know that when someone picks up a Valiant book, they're going to become a Valiant customer.
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
The loyalty and the consistency we see from Valiant customers is just incredible.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many people who buy the whole line. There's so many people who they're like, I don't care what it is. If Exo's in it, give it to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's people who, you know, just love one character. There's a lot of people who just read Faith and they're super happy and they love that character. And
yeah.
And, all these different fans are so wonderful and welcome, but they're all loyal and they're yes. all consistent. So it's about making sure that, one, you know, if you're a Valiant fan, grab a $10 trade for a friend. It's a yeah. it's what we call in the industry a hand-selling book sometimes.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a book where you have to talk to someone a little bit about
yeah.
it
yeah.
because it doesn't yet have that cultural presence
sure.
of some of these other companies, but the quality's there.
Yeah.
So we have a really great online community of fans, the Valiant Comic Fans Facebook group. There's a Valiant fan message board that's really wonderful. There's a lot of people who hang out on our Twitter.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, that community is really important. It's about yeah. you going into your local store and saying, hey, do you know about this?
Yeah.
Check out these $10 trades. And yeah. it's about us making sure that we're continuing to reach out to stores ourselves, because
sure.
more and more we are seeing Valiant sections pop up. We're seeing bigger sections. Yeah. We're seeing stores taking a chance on a title they haven't read before.
Sure.
And also I have to give a huge shout out to our editorial department. They are working farther ahead than I think ever before
yeah.
in a huge way
yeah.
where we have inks from our books in September, October, December. We have inks in for those books already.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are able to, in a way that is really, really helpful, actually send complete issues of books to those retailers, to those stores
sure.
in advance and
sure.
say, look how good this is.
Yeah, yeah.
This is worth your time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So editorial's been amazing about that.
Yeah.
And we're able to send them Punk Mambo number two before
yeah.
number one is even out.
Okay.
You yeah. know, so that's a big part of it. So it's about moving from that hand sell to that larger cultural presence.
Yeah.
And the fans are a huge part of that. And the movie's a huge part of that. And frankly, just us working every day in sales to do it
gotcha.
Is a big part of that.
Gotcha. So one last question, and it may be something that you don't deal with, but as far as the line itself,
mm-hmm.
like, are you guys, I mean, new characters have sort of been introduced to the world and stuff like that, but how do you guys go about, or what are the decisions as far as people cheering in the background? There's a cheerleader thing going on over there.
I think that's the Bring It On cheerleader team.
Oh, really?
The Clovers. Yeah, it's from the first Bring It On movie.
Nice. But as far as sort of like
Comic-Cons.
The line, and yeah, I know, comic conventions are amazing things. As far as like the line, how do you guys develop or decide, it's kind of a weird question, like what's going to go?
Oh,
you know,
like,
what I mean?
Like who's getting a new book next?
Yeah, who's getting a new book?
I see what you're saying.
Who's getting it? Oh, and that may not be the last question because that may tie into
my next
question.
No, go for it. Again, the weather's really nice. Keep me out here as long as you want.
Yeah.
I would say that, you know, part of it is we never want our big guys, our heavy hitters, our most beloved characters, we don't ever want them out of the spotlight for too long.
Sure.
Though we'll give them breaks, you know?
Sure.
So part of it is making sure that we're keeping those guys in rotation, those men and women in rotation.
Uh-huh.
And part of it is, frankly, it's... We are very lucky to have worked with and are working with and are talking to really incredible creators. And so, if, you know, someone comes to us with a pitch for something and it wasn't on the schedule, it might end up on the schedule.
Gotcha.
Because if someone's coming to us with something incredible,
uh-huh.
there it goes.
Uh-huh.
But for the most part, I think it's just we try to keep it in a good rotation.
Sure, sure.
You know, and... if something special is coming up, like the Bloodshot movie,
yeah,
you know, so we're going to definitely make sure that we're planning around that in a way that supports the movie, but also supports the comic, and also makes sure that whatever success the movie is having, comic book stores are feeling that success too.
Sure, sure.
You know, because that's really important to us, is that the comic book stores feel like we're on their team.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, something like that is gonna turn the eye towards Bloodshot, for example. And there's some things in the works that... make decisions that I can't talk about. Don't
yeah,
worry about it. It's fine.
I totally understand. And that will just lead into my last question. You mentioned like a pitch. How do you recruit new talent? How do you, I mean, people have like moved on, like you said a little while ago, to TV or creator-owned projects.
Mm-hmm.
How do you recruit people? Like, what is, does Valiant have like a submissions page or like?
Yeah, there's a couple different ways. I'd say first, I'd say we do have a submissions page.
Okay.
Submissions at valiantentertainment.com. We accept previously published work and portfolios from artists.
Okay.
I will say this really, really carefully. We cannot accept unsolicited pitches for current characters.
Gotcha.
We legally cannot even read them.
Yeah, okay.
I every so often someone will post or will send something to like the Twitter or something, and I literally just have to delete it.
Gotcha.
I can't even read it. So please don't do that, because we can't read them.
So do people send you pitches for like their own new characters?
Yeah, so
oh,
what
really?
We're looking for is talent, you know?
Yeah.
And also we have an incredible editorial department that's been in the industry for years and years. They all have people, one, that they've already worked with, and two, that they are keeping up with and are aware of, and they will reach out to people and say, hey, we're working on a new, you know, for example, we have coming in the fall, an XO title.
Yeah.
I'd like for you to pitch this book. I'd like for you to give me your take on this character.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, we find the right person. We find the right artist.
Yeah.
We are very excited to announce our new creative team for XO soon.
Oh, okay.
I can't say any more than that, but it should be coming pretty soon.
Sure, sure.
But it's about sort of, it's like a speed dating process almost,
okay.
You know? Part of it is we find new people through submissions, and then you get basically asked to pitch for a book.
Okay.
Yeah. Once we're... And every so often, someone will come to us with an idea. I believe it was Peter Milligan came to us with Britannia,
okay.
Or just had Britannia, and we were like, just do it with us.
Yeah.
That works.
Oh, nice.
It's in the universe.
Sure, sure.
So every so often, something like that will come up where it's a little off the beaten path, but it's so cool we can't pass it up.
Yeah.
Like Britannia. So it happens in a lot of different ways, but it's mostly looking at who's out there and then requesting pitches,
sure.
I'd say.
And then how do you guys deal with sort of like the thing that's risen up in like maybe the past 15 years, which is like creator rights and stuff like that, or creator owned? Like how much is there like something in the contract that people are like, I have a stake in this, or like,
I'm going to tell you the absolute truth. I have no idea what those contracts look
like.
I know that we've had creators who've been with us for a very, very long time,
yeah.
And who continue to, even if they're not working with us right now,
yeah.
Speak very highly of us,
yeah.
And be very willing to do signings and participate in stuff with us, and
yeah.
You know, hang out with us after cons.
Yeah.
So I feel that in general we have a really, really good relationship with our creators.
Yeah.
And as someone who's newer and has felt very welcomed by all of our creators, I feel really confident in how we are making those relationships work, considering the energy that's in the room when everyone's together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because it's always just shocking to me. You never hear a story of Valiant like, this person treated, I feel cheated, or it's a horrible place. You know what I mean? You
I just wouldn't
never
work there
that.
If it was like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously every person is different and people have their own personality quirks and stuff like that. But, you know, you do hear different things from,
of course. And, it's not a huge industry. There's people who are going to feel different ways about things.
Sure,
but for the most part, the energy at Valiant is very positive, very open. And I say this from inside Valiant HQ, you know, the staff, to the creators who I've talked to the fans. Everyone is so open.
Yeah.
It's a community where everyone's just excited to be there together and talk about stuff and geek out. And I love meeting fans at cons like, don't tell. I'm going to show you a page from this thing that I'm not supposed to show you, and watching their face light up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's my favorite thing in the world.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Well, I really appreciate your time. I appreciate you stepping away from your booth here at WonderCon. I have to say WonderCon.
WonderCon.
On. but no, I really appreciate your time. I've been trying to get an interview with somebody at Valiant for like years and years and years. We're not like a huge podcast. So I just appreciate you taking the time. And I love your stuff. I just love all the stuff. Like whenever it's amazing because there is a part of me sometimes that's resistant to like buying a comic. And I'm like, oh, just want to save money, and then I'll buy it and I'll read it and I'll be like, damn it, Valiant. It's almost like Alan Moore. Like, I'm like, damn it, Alan Moore.
I know, we're the worst.
You got
that
me
way
again. You know,
how dare us.
Yeah But thank you so much for your time.
Thank
I really
you so much,
and keep making great books, because
oh
I love
man
it.
Keep making great podcasts.
Well,
man,
I'm gonna try.
Can I do a quick plug?
Yeah, go for it.
Please follow Valiant Comics on Twitter, Valiant Comics on Facebook, and we're Valiant Entertainment on Instagram.
Awesome.
And I pretty much run all three, so if you DM the Twitter, if you have a question, if you send a message to the Facebook page, you're just gonna pretty much get me.
Okay.
So I'm here if you want recommendations, if you have questions.
Great.
Hit me up. I am always here to talk to our amazing fans.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
You know, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Part-time. Part-time fanboy.